Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then, add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, welcoming Elizabeth Peak, writes a column at The Hill and a column at Fox News, and we are observing what for many decades has been a contest in America. It's the contest between, once upon a time, Friedrich Hayek and John Maynard Keynes. However, more modernly, it was a contest between Paul Samuelson, the MIT guru economist, and Milton Friedman, the University of Chicago guru economist, on, is it how much money we're pouring into America that causes inflation? Or does the Federal Reserve have the tools, and is government intervention sometimes called for? That's the contest. Well, here we are in the 21st century, and Liz, reading a new book about the Samuelson-Friedman columns in Newsweek in the 1960s and 70s, I'm amazed how we're still there. The government wants to intervene with cash. There is hesitation in the part of the public that follows Milton Friedman. There is hoorays in the part of the public that follows Paul Samuelson, John Maynard Keynes. And there's no resolution. In addition, as you know from the reporting, the public believes there's inflation. The businesses believe there's inflation. But the gurus, the inheritors of Samuelson and Friedman, believe the inflation is transitory. Can we settle this, or do we just have fun debating as if it's still the 1930s and we're not sure about the government intervention? Good evening to you, Liz.
Good evening, John. I don't think it's a debate. I think it's become kind of a political football, to be honest. I mean, like everything else right now, it's very partisan. Republicans are standing strong against any more really gigantic spending packages, certainly the $3.5 trillion so-called infrastructure reconciliation bill that Joe Biden wants to push through strikes everybody as completely ludicrous. I say everybody, meaning everyone on the right. The left, of course, is using the idea that they can pass that bill, perhaps, with no GOP votes as a mandate to pass such a bill because it contains kind of a Democrat wish list that not only provides an enormous expansion of our welfare state, which they inherently like, but it also really puffs up membership potentially in Democrat favored groups like the teachers unions and the SEIU. If you get a huge program delivering free elder care, for example, that's going to be probably union workers for the SEIU who will be taking those jobs. Ditto pre-K guaranteed for everybody, three-year-olds, four-year-olds going to school. Who do we think is going to oversee that? Undoubtedly, that's going to be more additions to the teachers' unions. And we've had hundreds of billions of dollars already funneled to activities in the $1.9 trillion rescue plan that similarly has a center of gravity right plop in the middle of labor unions that support Joe Biden. So, you know, I think, unfortunately, we're not really talking much in the way of abstracts here. We're really talking about, do I like your programs or not? Because Democrats and people on the left have now embraced, purely in my view, for cynical political reasons, modern monetary theory, which in its essence says it doesn't matter how much money you spend. I think any American family with an ounce of common sense knows at some point the cupboard runs dry. At some point, as Maggie Thatcher so famously said, the problem with socialism, you do run out of other people's money. And I think Congress is contemplating not only another $1 trillion for the bipartisan infrastructure bill, but also this big reconciliation pact, people are just wondering where the heck the money is going to come from, because what Democrats are trying to do strikes an awful lot of people, including myself, as just utterly absurd and dangerous. If we're worried about inflation, too much money chasing too few goods is sort of the oldest explanation of inflation. I think it works pretty well right here.
Larry Summers is the nephew of Paul Samuelson, and he significantly is sounding a warning bell, dong, 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 about inflation. And I want to read through what Mr. Summers and all of us can see. The CPI, year over year, 5.4%. The PPI, year over year, 9.4%. The core CPI, year over year, 4.5%. I believe I'm reading all this correctly. I could go on. What we have
are
the routine metrics are telling us there's inflation. What is the explanation for how it will go away? We'll calm down? We'll stop spending money? What is the version?
It's interesting. Joe Biden came out and talked about the economy and interestingly did address inflation fears and parroted basically what he's heard from Jay Powell, the Federal Reserve Chair, and others who are saying, don't worry, it's transitory. It's because we're reopening. It's because there's a lot of things like used cars in short supply because of supply chains. Once they're right, once those used car numbers come back up or whatever is available, then those price increases are going to fade away. But as someone, and I think I used this word maybe last week when talking to you, as someone described, inflation is lumpy, and it is lumpy. I mean, right now it is not today, used car sales that are maybe driving the next month's inflation numbers, but it could be rents. Rents also, like used cars, are a big whopping 40% of the CPI, and housing prices are going up. Inevitably, rents are going up, and in fact, they have already turned higher. So people are going to find that they're paying more for their rents. They're paying more for groceries. By the way, food and energy is still up. So I think that the Fed has been behind the curve for the past year for a whole slew of reasons, including, unfortunately, political. Jay Powell was calling for fiscal assistance for months and months last year because he felt that monetary policy on its own could not support the economy. He's probably right. Despite the Fed taking an incredibly aggressive posture, buying $120 billion of bonds every single month and keeping interest rates very, very low, he felt that we also needed a big slew of fiscal assistance out of Congress, and he got that. Remember, we had already the American CARES Act, and at the end of the year, we had another $900 billion bill. So I think it's hard for Jay Powell, as much as he might be concerned about spending too much and inflation as a result, I think it's very hard politically for him to kind of now backtrack and say, well, I did want fiscal stimulus, but gee, the economy is growing almost 8% in the second quarter, which, by the way, is the latest from the Atlanta Fed. So maybe we don't really need, maybe we really didn't need $1.9 trillion in March. Maybe we certainly don't need trillions more now. My view, John, is a couple of things. One, I don't think people are looking at the numbers. We are now beginning to spend as a portion of the entire country's output. The federal government last year and this year will be over 45%. That verges on the kind of numbers that countries like Sweden that we all consider semi-socialist have. I mean, those are sort of their routine numbers. This is not the norm for the United States. Historically, we've been a much lower share of government spending as a part of our total output. And why is that bad? Number one, it means our federal debt's going up and up and up. And if interest rates ever go up, interest on our debt is going to be overwhelming the federal budget. Number two, federal spending, government spending at any level, local, state, federal, is by definition not particularly efficient. It is not productive spending. And I know people will say, well, what about roads? Okay, repairing roads, it may have some benefit to society, may be somewhat productive. It is not as productive as a private company investing in a new manufacturing plant to turn out goods that people want at a lower price and providing jobs in doing it. That's the problem. I mean, I think, all you have to do is sort of think in your mind about going to your local Department of Motor Vehicles. Is that an efficiently run organization? No, chances are it's not. And that is sort of pervades government spending. It's not good spending. It's not helpful to our overall economy. So You know, I think it's time that the gurus, as you put it, step back, take their foot off the gas, let this economy emerge. Now, obviously, we're all looking at the coronavirus cases, wondering if that's going to cause some slowdown. Are consumers going to start getting nervous again about going to the movies, taking a cruise, whatever other kinds of activities are just now emerging? That's a risk, without a doubt. But let's assess that risk a little more fully before deciding we're going to spend this country in a very unsustainable position.
I have a response to your question about will we go backwards to because of the virus. I've been reporting from London, but before we go to London, or at least London in my memory, the economy, Liz, is doing extremely well. Is that allowed to be said? Can we say that out loud?
You can say it out loud.
Everybody's happy. They're buying, they're shopping, they're in restaurants, they're dining together, there are no masks to be seen. All of that is happening now. Are we to imagine that that's going to reverse itself, that the economy is going to turn off? Is that what Washington sees? They think we're out here putting together soybeans to eat? I mean, what is Washington thinking we're doing? We're spending our money.
I think that the reason the market swooned presumably yesterday was it was that people all of a sudden were alarmed that the vaccines were not vanquishing COVID, to put it sort of summarily. But to your in terms of your questions, I don't know what Washington is thinking, John. I wish I did.
Well, Washington is listening to us now. Things are good. Okay.
Yeah.
Things are good in America. Maybe not in Washington because, you know, it's summertime and it can get overheated, but things are good in America. We're going to turn to the virus next. What we can observe in the United Kingdom going on right now that may be a bellwether to whether or not we'll accede to another lockdown or not. Liz Peek of The Hill, of Fox News, much on Fox Business. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Chances are, you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your social security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info, and if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slipcovers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange any time. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at WashableSofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.